and welcome to the Hollywood Outsiders special WandaVision After Ho. Today and each week after, we will be talking all about WandaVision one episode at a time, what it means for the show, and also what it could mean for the MCU. These will be in the feed every Monday after a new episode, but if you support us on Patreon at patreon.com/TheHollywoodOutsider, you will get early access by a few days. Now let's get on with the show. My name is Amanda Sink, and today I'm joined by my fellow guest ho, Vinny Schwartz.
Howdy.
Howdy, howdy, sir. How'd you feel about this episode?
A lot better than the previous ones.
Yeah, you're starting to really, like, get into the groove of it, even though there's still some sitcom in it, though, right? Like, you're okay with that?
Well, like I said before, I was always okay with that. It's just sometimes it stretched a little thin. And even last week, you know, made me excited for this week. But this week made me so excited for next week.
Yeah. Are you talking because of the big ending?
Because of just stuff happening. Lots and lots of stuff.
Well, before we get into this, keep in mind we are full spoilers here. If you're listening to this and you haven't watched the latest episode, episode 5, I don't know why you're here, but we appreciate it, I guess. So let's talk about what the hex is going on. We're going to discuss our overall thoughts of the episode, key characters, and dissect the plot points to figure out what is going on in this episode. Episode 5, On a Very Special Episode, is what it's titled, written by Peter Cameron and directed by Matt Shakman. As Wanda and Vision are struggling to grapple being new parents, the twins find new powers, Sword attempts to reach Wanda in Westview, and Vision begins to question his reality. Now, before we get into these crazy big plot points, we're going to give you a rundown of some of the random pieces of information we feel like maybe you should know about, in case you don't. Right, Vinny?
Sure.
For the first time, we get the names of Wanda's parents. Now, not the first time ever, because in the comics, they're known as Django and Maria. But in the MCU, they have not been alluded to by name. And so now we know it's Irina and Oleg Maximoff.
Yeah, and I don't really think that has any super huge significance, but
no, it's cool. Just, yeah. But it's different from the comics, so people like to know what happens in the comics, what happens in the show, the differences, just that fun random information.
And then we have a bit of, what's the word I'm looking for?
Obvious?
Validation?
Yeah.
I guess would be for you. Either validation or Darcy Lewis is going to come at you for copyright. Now that she's named the anomaly surrounding Westview the Hex.
She stole that from me.
Right. I'm sure that's...
She yeah. did.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. You're right. You were the original.
I am.
So when you start getting those Disney checks, let me know.
I'm not going to be on this show. I'll tell you that much.
But due to the hexagonal shape of the force field around Westview, she decided to go with Hex, which also ties into Scarlet Witch's Hex-like powers.
Hex bolts and Hex spheres. All of the hexiness going on. We also know that Vision's corpse is physically present in Westview. It's not anything that Wanda is manifesting. It's not anything that she is hallucinating, including the very horrific image that we saw at the end of episode 3, where he was very much so the dead Vision that the MCU films remember him to be. And that was very real. So that was something that, again, is a little bit of a validation, but also changes, I think, the shape of what we know WandaVision to be in the show, within the show.
Yep, like I said before, corpse puppet.
Corpse puppet, indeed.
So can we talk about the incident in which we're kind of clued in on that it's actually his body?
Yeah, sure.
So we get confirmed footage later. Interestingly enough, from Sword's headquarters, where they were keeping Vision's body for whatever they're doing with it, all kinds of experiments and whatnot, where Wanda just kind of storms in, busts stuff up, and dips out with it, which raises some questions as to how she found out what they were doing with him and
their need to upgrade security.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, it is Scarlet Witch that they're up against, so not much is going to be able to hold her back, but it is one thing to figure out, and something we don't know, how did she determine this super secret location of his body, or his parts?
I mean, it was most of, it was his body. He was just, you know, a little bit here,
a little bit there.
Yeah. Which I'm sure was not the way to present that to her. I mean, I'm sure they weren't expecting visitors, but at the same time, like, having him on different gurneys probably wasn't a good look for them.
No. I mean, what was she going to really expect, though? Like, of course, they're going to take him and use him for science, or really, what, we don't even know what they were doing with him.
No, again, they just kind of had him there working on him, doing who knows what. But it's just interesting to think about how she came to know about this information, like who tipped her off, and why did they wait so long to notify everyone else? Like, you don't think it's important to let the Avengers or other law enforcement know that, hey, a rogue ex-Avenger just kind of strolled in and took another ex-Avenger's body and disappeared?
Which apparently is against so many codes. The Sokovian codes and the Vision's living will codes and all of these different codes. I'm like, who has really thought this extensively about what to do with their dead robot pieces? It's weird.
Well, the ultimate robotic AI being would.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's a good point.
And we also get a little nod that Wanda doesn't have her superhero alias at this point.
Yeah, that is correct.
No funny nicknames, as they put it.
One really fun homage to the House of M comic series, or comic event book, giant book thing that it is when Agnes is showing up for the second time in this episode, Vision is reading a newspaper with the headline, Local Homemakers Innovating Recipes. And just a few seconds later, when he is folding the newspaper, it's done so in a way that only says HOM, which is short for the huge Scarlet Witch comic event that we've talked about quite a few times, probably on every episode so far, the House of M.
Oh, House of M? No, this is the first time I've heard of that. What's that?
Oh, you don't know about this?
No,
oh, please. This is weird. How did you get on this podcast?
I just kind of wandered in.
just like Wanda did to steal the Vision's body.
Yeah, I just kind of wandered in like, hey, this looks cool. And just helped myself. And we also noticed that they are borrowing a bit from a darker Scarlet Witch story from the Avengers West Coast books. In those books, we notice that there's something wrong, that whenever Wanda's attention is diverted from the twins, that they just kind of cease to exist, which happens from time to time, like when Agatha is babysitting, and her flippant and non-checked use of her powers just kind of happens, which we see where she just summons a collar out of thin air for Sparky, and which Vision does take note of, and it's like, hey, what are you doing?
Yeah, there's a lot of what are you doing in this episode. I want a sidebar about, would you ever let her babysit your children? She's trying to get them drunk to make them go to bed. Not a bad concept in theory, but
I'll say the, okay, we have to break this down. The character Agatha Harkness in the comics, the character Agnes from the show, or the actress Ms. Han, because I have different answers for all three.
Well, what are your answers for the three?
For the first one, maybe. Like, no, you know what? I'm going to take that back, because I thought, you know, what if they learn cool powers? But it's like, kids are hard enough to contain without powers, so maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
As far as Agnes from the show, yeah, sure, she seems fun. Why not? She's just a
little bit of bourbon.
She's just a hoot and holler to have around. It's fine. What's a little bourbon? It helps with the teething. It's fine.
I'm sure somebody did it at some time, and the kids turned out just fine.
Oh, somebody. Try an entire generation. Yeah, and they turned out okay, I guess. So, you know, that's fine. And as for the actress, yeah, of course, because then we get to hang out. And she seems hilarious.
I definitely want more of her around.
I mean, hopefully her character stays.
If we're right, like we have been this entire time so far, not to brag. Toot toot. But.
Now you're getting ahead of yourself.
I know, I am.
They're going to take a sharp right turn. He's going to run face first into it and like, oops.
So another fun piece of information that we noticed is that in most of this episode, the twins, which grew up very rapidly, and we'll talk about that, are dressed in red and green, which is definitely a nod to their parents' favorite color schemes. And it also appears to mirror the colors they adopt when they grow up to be superheroes themselves. Billy becomes hex-wielding Wiccan, who favors red, while Tommy favors green, like his uncle Pietro. We'll talk about him too, don't you worry. As Speed.
Yeah, I noticed that too, and I thought that was a fun little nod, especially because I actually really like Wiccan's character design. Like, his costume is really simplistic, but it's still really striking and cool looking. If you've never checked out any of those characters, check out some like Young Avengers comics with Wiccan in them. Pretty cool character, pretty entertaining book line. And also, we have the name Sparky for the newly found dog that, interestingly enough, Wanda didn't make it, as far as we know, wasn't already within the anomaly, and she may or may not have any kind of agency over it, kind of like her twins. The name Sparky is, of course, significant due to the fact that the dog that the Vision family has in the Visions comic book is also named Sparky. Little bit more of a gruesome tale in that than compared to the show, so little more tame.
yeah definitely
no dog brains extracted.
I thought it was sweet to introduce the dog, but it's real morbid to have it die in the same episode. Yeah. Like, hey honey, we got a dog. Hey honey, can you bury the dog?
I mean, Vision literally says, he's like, well, you know, it's not every day they get a dog and bury it on the same day.
And honestly, they take it pretty well. And that could be because of their very hypocritical mother, who's talking to them about how you have to accept death. You know, some things are forever and you can't run away from it. And
the fact that they're technically like death. 2 days old.
They're not even 2 days old, are they? I mean, like, are we in a full 2 days? I don't think so.
I'm just like ballparking it, you know, somewhere around there. Just like in current day with the coronavirus, time is not real. Time's an illusion. Time means nothing.
We always talk about what the commercials mean because they have some significance. And there's a really interesting theory that I am not going to take credit for. This is on the interwebs, but I am going to share it with you because I thought it was interesting. This Lagos ad is a reference to the Infinity Stones, and you can actually see, based on this theory that it was come up with, all of the commercials represent the Infinity Stones as we've gone along. So the toaster was about power, the watch was time, the Tesseract-shaped bath powder was space, and then here with the red liquid spill as a sly nod to Aether being reality.
Yeah, in Thor 2 Dark World, I think is the subtitle. Sorry, I remember like...
Nobody remembers that movie.
I remember all of 2 minutes of that movie, if I'm being generous. But yeah, I believe it's pronounced Aether, is some red-like liquid that I think the elves use for something. Again, I'm gonna sound so dumb, and every hardcore Marvel fan is gonna be like, you idiot, how could you forget that this, that, and that? And like, well, you see, that movie was boring. But yeah, that turned out to actually be the Reality Stone. So yeah, the idea that these could be related to the Infinity Stones is interesting. We'll see more as we get more episodes, and I'm sure whatever the Mind Stone one is should be real, real interesting.
Yeah, and if it is the case that it relates to the Infinity Stones, then there's only two commercials left for Mind and Soul.
Which, speaking of the Infinity Stones, kind of backtracking a bit to how this Vision is actually his body being corpse puppeted around. Sorry, I truly like that phrase.
It's catching on, just like the hex is.
I mean, it's awful when you think about it, but it's really funny to me. So this vision is depicted as having a mind stone and still having some powers related to that.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been thinking about this like since about episode 2, and I'm like, oh yeah, he does have the mind stone in his forehead still. So that makes me wonder if she's made some kind of like pseudo mind stone.
Oh, like she's created her own
copy
of it.
I mean, it's got to be it's got to be close in some ways because she got her powers from the mind stone.
And he's able to control, well, whether he can fully control things or not is yet to be determined because of their conversation where he says, you can't control me like you can them. And she said, can't I?
Right.
So in some ways, she has control and power over him, but he has had a lot of autonomy in his actions. I mean, even unveiling Norm's reality and his personality underneath, that wouldn't have been Wanda. So this has to be him acting on his own accord. So he has some control, and if he has that level of control, him using his powers to do stuff like that would have to truly exist in some form. So right. I think that's a really good point.
Right, and again, about the whole thing with Norm and going to work, we actually find out that Wanda pretty much sends him to work as part of the quote-unquote script to kind of like get his mind off things when he starts asking too many questions or like starts realizing things. It's like she sends him off to work to do something to kind of not only change the scene, but also divert his attention elsewhere. So he just kind of glosses over it and goes back to, oh, well, you know, whatever. This is how things are. Everything's fine. Ha ha ha.
Yeah. Let's talk about that abusive relationship that's going on here. I mean, when you think about it, there is the power dynamic and the imbalance in their relationship is not even true to what they are, but Wanda doesn't seem to care about that because as long as she has him in any capacity, then that's all she cares about and she will not let that go. So I think with this episode, what we're starting to see is not only is she not allowing anybody else to interfere with her plan, but I wonder how far she's willing to go to stop Vision from interfering with her plan.
Which is interesting that you bring up like the power dynamic, because thinking earlier back to the ad, they have a moment where, you know, the woman clumsily knocks over something like, oh, whoops, silly me, cleans it up with the paper towels. But then the husband knocks over something. And before, these ads have been kind of tried and true to the era and little, you know, misogynist and whatnot. But then we get to this ad and the husband makes a mess and they go, husbands can use it to clean up too, which I thought was kind of interesting. And it just kind of clicked something when you said that. So I don't know if that's also kind of related or not.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think the commercials have some, they have some connection to the episode beyond just the potential Mind Stone concept. We've talked about that in the previous episodes, how the commercials directly relate to what's occurring in that episode.
Another thing that's brought to the forefront in this episode is that there's no children in Westview, that, as Vision points out, which, I mean, you kind of like go back and you think about it, because I know I did, and like, oh yeah, besides their kids, there's no other children that are ever shown in this entire show, even though they have a whole thing that's for the children. Say it with me.
For the children. And what happened to Dottie? Like, she's been gone for a minute.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's, I guess she's not an important enough main character.
She seemed like she was an important character. I'm sure she's going to come back, but I wonder what's happened to her in the interim, because she also was not one of the formally identified characters on Sword's behalf when they were going through the, Jimmy had his little like board working.
Yeah. The roundup where they found the real. Yeah. That's a good point.
So I'm curious, that's got to loop around in some way.
I mean, she did have that weird moment where she accidentally cut herself, and that actually ends up being a part that Wanda cuts out of the show. So she definitely has some kind of greater role to play.
Another fascinating and to be determined piece of information is Monica, when she has her test results, and that's kind of what the episode opens on, is her recalling what she felt with Wanda, what, you know, when she talks about how much grief there was and how little control she had. And so they're doing all of these tests on her and her clothing just to see what comes back from it. And her test results are completely blank. Now, Vinny, I know we've talked a little bit about this concept off air. I don't know if we've talked about it specifically on the podcast in depth, but do you want to share what that could potentially mean in terms of her molecular structure and who she is?
Well, depending on what these tests mean, she could have received some kind of body-altering magic or power or something, either going through the barrier or interacting with Wanda or something, that's going to slowly give her powers, just like she has powers in the comics and for a little bit is called Captain Marvel or Photon. So this could be an allusion to her slowly getting powers and becoming her own superhero character, which that'd be cool.
Speaking of Captain Marvel, you and I had different interpretations of Monica's response to Captain Marvel being brought up. Now, when they bring it up, she's obviously not, she doesn't have the response we would have anticipated her to have, right? Like, she's not happy and excited to talk about Captain Marvel. She completely deviates. I felt like it was, maybe it was a tender subject and she just didn't want to talk about it, but you felt a little differently. Right?
Well, yeah, it seemed like she was very cold and bitter. Like, as soon as you brought up Captain Marvel, she's like, no, we're not talking about that. We're not talking about her. Forget her. We don't need her. Like, oh, okay. Weird. Considering the last time we saw them interact together, even though she was a child, they're really close. They got nicknames. She calls her Aunt Carol. And she even gets to pick out her new colors for her. But now, you know, however many years later, we haven't seen any actual interaction on screen with them. But whatever it is, something happened to where she has some, it almost seems like resentment to her.
Maybe she feels like Captain Marvel is responsible for her mother's death.
I'm not sure if she feels like she's responsible, but maybe she does have some kind of like resentment that she wasn't there for her mom while she couldn't be. So yeah, I could see something like that.
And another Monica piece is about this aerospace engineer. I was not 100% sure who, I mean, none of us know for sure who it is still, that's to be determined. But did you have any concept of who this aerospace engineer could be?
I really had to think about it. And the obvious, well, kind of obvious answer, just because, you know, they want to get all this tied together, and they've already said that they're making a Fantastic Four movie, could be Reed Richards, aka Mr. Fantastic. I mean, that could be an interesting way to do it, but as for why he would be around but not the rest of the team and what's taken them this long, I don't know. It could be him. Another one I didn't think about, I had to go back and really think through already introduced characters. If you go back to the first Iron Man movie, Rhodey actually has a background in aerospace. I don't remember exactly what it was. I should have wrote it down. But he does have that background, so she could be calling in War Machine. Who knows?
Another concept of who it could be is Adam Bernard Brashear, known as the Blue Marvel, who is another Marvel scientist, the one who led the 616 version of the Ultimates with Monica on the team.
Yeah, not familiar with that character at all, so
I mean, me either. I'm just bringing this information forward.
I mean, I don't know how prominent he is, but Marvel's done a great job with Guardians of the Galaxy. I'm sure I'm not as big of a comic book nerd as some other people.
I mean, you're pretty nerdy.
I mean, yeah, but at the same time.
Someone's always going to be smarter. Like, you're never the smartest person in the room, that sort of thing. But you're still a big old comic nerd.
I am, but I didn't know that I could enjoy watching a talking raccoon, tree man, team up with an invisible man, a green badass, and the guy from Parks and Rec to do crazy space
stuff.
Wow,
this is a fantastic description of Guardians of the Galaxy.
But see,
all to an amazing playlist, right?
Just amazing.
Just amazing.
It's honestly, it's one of my top Marvel movies. And, you know, I can remember seeing that trailer with that Elton John song. And I'm just like, what is this? What are you doing, Marvel? This is not, what? Are you for real? This is what you're doing? Okay, wow, okay. Superhero movies are sliding back down. This is how it's going to go. And then nothing but rave reviews. So I finally gave in, saw it, and like, yep, okay, I get it. This is great.
You were wrong.
I was. I've never been so happy to be wrong. Great movie. So who knows? Maybe they bring in the Blue Marvel and make him just the coolest guy ever.
Or maybe, just maybe, it's that other blue guy.
Yeah. The one from Blue Man Group?
Yeah, that one.
I could see that.
So let's start talking about some of the important moments that happen in this episode that really drove it forward. First and foremost, Billy and Tommy went from newborns to 5 to 10 years old, all in like a single day. And they can do that apparently on command, which means they definitely have powers seemingly that Wanda cannot control. And they also get a dog who dies.
Oh, kids, they just grow up so fast.
So fast.
I don't know. I don't think that's such a bad deal.
Like, by the end of the week, they're in college. They're out of your house.
I mean, like, I'd even take that, like, 3-minute jump to where they're screaming children to actual kids that can talk to you about what's wrong. Like, oh, wow. No diapers. No, you know, they had one sleepless night or however many it was. It wasn't that many, honestly. Like, I'm sure every parent's just looking at them like, you got off so easy.
Mm.
You have no idea. Like, that.
Isn't that like the core and the foundation of like parenting? It's like going through the real struggles. Like, if you didn't lose sleep because of your children, are you really a parent? Just kidding. Someone's going to be offended by that.
Someone's going to be offended by anything. But I'm sure any parent and every parent would gladly get those nights back with a restful night's sleep if their child could just magically grow. Like, oh.
Yeah, but that'd be cool. Sad at the same time, too.
But like,
so like just, oh, I just had my baby, and oh my God, you're 5 years old. Ah!
I'm just saying, that first jump, I wouldn't mind that so much. After that, they can take their time, but the first one, sure thing. Because I got to tell you, when that show starts up and there's just screaming children, I'm like, oh, God.
Ooh.
Yeah, this does something to me on like a primal level. Like, I can't. This is not what I watched television for.
But Auntie Agnes comes in to try to save the day.
Right. Just as Agatha would, to come in and help Wanda take care of the kids. On cue all the time, which does start to kind of like ping something in Vision's brain. Just like, you know, she kind of shows up
with exactly what we need at exactly the right time.
And we get a very weird moment where Agnes kind of gets sidetracked by something Vision says that's kind of off cue, quote unquote, and she fumbles her line. So she kind of just turns to Wanda. It's like, Do you want me to take that from the top? Should I do that again? Like, do you think we should do that again or just move on?
Because you want me to take care of the kids, right? So let's just, let's do it.
Yeah. And
jazzercise.
And like Wanda has this look that's kind of half like, what do you talk about? And sure. And half like, okay, yeah, okay, just, you know.
Stop talking.
Yeah, like not so overt. Like just roll with it. And then Vision's just like, no, actually, what's going on here? Like, how did you not notice the weirdness? That was super weird. People don't behave that way. What's happening?
I appreciate that if they're going to give him autonomy of himself, that they're not treating him like an idiot. You know what I mean? Like, he's going to realize those things. He is a super robot.
Right. And even if he's just a recreation of what she remembers him being, she has to at the very least remember that he's a highly intelligent being. Like, honestly, probably the most intelligent being on the entire planet. Maybe within, like, you know, a couple light years of the planet, considering he's just a super AI thing that had the Mind Stone in his forehead. So he's got to be able to have just an insane amount of intelligence to sit there and be like, all right, something's off. This does not compute. Let's figure this out real quick.
And Wanda just tries to skate past it. And she's able to in that moment, but obviously it tumbles and Vision starts to realize that there is so much more going on here. And I mean, not only do you have S.W.O.R.D. interfering as like a side story, but now you have Vision who is touching people's heads and getting them to come to reality, come to being, and finding out that Wanda is really at the helm of, or believes that she's at the helm of everything. And that leads to a really huge debate between the two of them in the air.
Yeah, debate is a, I'm going to say mortal term, because these two beings are having an all-out just shouting match and just start flying and yelling at each other. Which is another interesting thing, and which makes me say that this is hers or someone's recreation of Vision. Like, it's not really him in there, because he's getting super emotional. And, like, you could argue he's an AI intelligence so that he could learn to act human, but also because he's an AI intelligence, why would he learn that? He would think emotions are illogical and would get in the way. Especially as we saw in Civil War, he got distracted and accidentally blasted War Machine, causing Rhodey to be paralyzed from the waist down for a bit. So,
but it's hard to say that he doesn't have any emotion, though, because he obviously has emotion for Wanda. Like, he has some capacity of understanding human emotion and expressing it. Well, I shouldn't say expressing it, but comprehending it from his own perspective.
Right. And with that, though, he's always been very measured and very concise about everything he does or says. So to see him, like, just explode with emotions, and he says he's scared and he can't remember before Westview, it's a very interesting.
You're saying that word a lot.
Yep. Take a drink. It's a very interesting form of Vision that we're seeing, which is why I don't think it's truly him. It's some shade of him. But now that we've seen that things from within Westview can leave, if we do get to keep this Vision,
if we get to keep him, like, yeah, he's a toy.
Well, you know, Feige giveth, Feige taketh away very easily. So if we get to keep him, is he going to be this way, like, throughout the rest of the continuity? Is he going to be a slightly different Vision?
The question I think that's more important to me, anyway, is not just if we get to keep him, but he seems to have a very specific reaction to what is happening here. He does not like that Wanda is seemingly controlling these people under her hand, under her thumb, and that it's not fair because they have a family and all of these different things. My question is, do we end up seeing Wanda and Vision fully go at it with each other? Because Vision is not, he's not really himself, and she's not willing to let go of him, but he realizes there's something very, very wrong, and this is not okay. And Vision has always been, like, the most amoral person or thing. So for him to just idly sit by and watch this all happen. That's not going to happen. He's not, whether it's real him, well, I shouldn't say real him because, you know, he did die. But whether it's in some capacity still him and his thinking or it's a reconstruction, it's still going to be him in some form. So I wonder and worry about the two of them going head to head because Wanda refuses to lose control over this.
Well, I think you nailed it pretty square on the head there, that she's fighting tooth and nail to keep her perfect world together and moving forward and making sure nothing interferes, whether it be Monica, drones, or Vision. She's going to make this work no matter what, because she even says that she's not going to let anything happen and she's not going to let anything take away her happiness or her family ever again.
Yeah.
So they have gone head to head again in Civil War. They're on opposite ends of that because, again, Vision's moral compass, it may be a little cold and logical in some aspects, but for the most part, he's got the best intentions for the overall human race, which is why he was the foil to Ultron. So I could definitely see them clashing on that aspect.
Now, you started talking a little bit about one of the big moments, not the biggest moment, of course, because we'll save that for the end. But so Monica and S.W.O.R.D. are trying to connect with Wanda, and then the director guy, who is a huge dick, decides he's going to try to take a shot at Wanda. Super stupid. And Wanda responds by leaving Westview, confronting them, and like, ooh, the rage. She is not having any of this. She brings that little drone out like, did you really try and turn this on me? Homie, come on.
Like, and again, everyone knows what they did, obviously.
They're terrified.
Well, because we get that moment with Jimmy, Darcy, Monica, where they talk about, like, well, she went toe-to-toe with Thanos and would have destroyed him if he didn't bomb the area, which, again, brought up Captain Marvel, because those are the only two characters that have actually successfully, for the most part, fought Thanos. Like, in all actuality, either one of them probably could have beat him pretty handedly if it was a level playing field. As level as it could be for, you know, superhuman like Captain Marvel and a reality-altering person like Scarlet Witch. So the fact that they know that and he thinks, yeah, no, I can take her out with a drone strike, right? Like, that'll work. I'm just like, dude, that was the dumbest. The dumbest thing you could have done.
People. Humans are so stupid. But I did love her response because she was fierce. And something that is very surprising to me, her accent is starting to come back.
Yeah, I thought that was funny because we talked about that for a bit in the first episode. You kind of hear it starts creeping in just a little bit. Like, there's just a hint of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it is back. And she when she comes out of there, she is in her regular outfit. So it's kind of like outside of this perfect, pristine world that she's made, it's real Wanda, and she's not going to put on any kind of airs or change herself anymore for anyone. Like, this is me, and this is me telling you, if you keep messing with what I got going on in here, I'm going to mess your stuff up real good. Which she shows by bringing back that mind power that she used in Age of Ultron, where she kind of like whispered in people's ears and made them see and do things. But this time she did it in mass without touching anyone. She just kind of like summoned her little wispy red hex orb thing, like flicked her wrist, and then she just mass mind controlled all the soldiers there, who snapped and just snapped all their rifles to the director and just held them there until she left.
So one thing that I also want to talk about too is every time we've seen this energy field, it's always been blue. And we see that like blue, I don't know what it is, but it's like you can see like these lines.
Yeah, it's like mentioned before, it kind of looks like staticky old school television.
Yeah, but when she re-enters, it all turns to red.
Yep.
And I'm curious because I don't have a real idea of what it means other than maybe it just enhanced it in terms of the strength. What do you think is happening with this energy field going from blue to this Scarlet Witch red?
I mean, she's the one who did it, and that's, you know, the color of her powers. So yeah, that's definitely her kind of like doubling up the power, whatever that might mean. Like, if anyone tries to go through now, are they just going to get incinerated?
Mm.
Or are they going to be able to get in at all? I'm not really sure what that means, but yeah, things are real serious now.
Ooh, also, that really intense moment between Monica and Wanda. And Monica says, I didn't know that the drones were armed. And she starts to approach her and tells her, you know, I know you know that I am an ally of yours. And she confronts her about, you control this entire world of Westview, this town. You have all of these people seemingly held hostage, but you let a S.W.O.R.D. agent knowingly into your home. So did she actually do that? Because she doesn't respond. And later in the episode, Wanda is talking to Vision about how she doesn't have the, you know, do you really think I have the capacity to control everyone here? And we're starting to get a sense that maybe she doesn't have full control over these things. And if that's the case, who allowed Monica to go through? Because someone had to have, because nobody else could get through. Jimmy couldn't get through. And yet Monica was able to get in as a S.W.O.R.D. agent. And Wanda seems surprised from what we saw anyway, of who are you? You're not my friend. You're a stranger. And so I'm curious what your thought is about if someone else is maybe behind some of this and who that could be, if so.
Oh, definitely someone's behind it. It goes back to the theory of, so she has some idea, but she's not fully aware. And that is later kind of expounded upon by saying she doesn't know how it started and she doesn't have full control of everyone and everything, which we've seen throughout the show,
yeah.
Like with the stork that wouldn't get magicked away. She couldn't stop the babies from crying with her magic, which she tried at the beginning of the episode. They actually end up laughing at her because she can't magically make them do things, which is also interesting because they seem to be able to manipulate themselves just fine. And we get a little bit more of a peek behind the curtain with Agnes as the kids find out that the dog is dead. So they tell Wanda to bring him back because they know that she can do that, which brings up so many questions. Like, how do they know she can do that? How do they know how much power she has? And they know that, but Agnes apparently doesn't. And Agnes is one of the few characters that seems to have a little more awareness than everyone else, but she doesn't know the full extent of Wanda's powers. So there's definitely something going on where someone, which could be the same someone that told Wanda where to find Vision. Basically, I mean, that Mephisto, again, could be just a deal with the devil where he's like, all right, I'm going to set up this little world for you. You get the run of it pretty much and, you know, do whatever. I don't know what he gets out of all this, but someone definitely...
Maybe he wants Vision back to be able to use for himself.
Possibly. But Mephisto is a very powerful character in his own right, you know, considering he's basically mm-hmm. Marvel's devil.
Yeah.
Like, he's pretty powerful in his own right, which is why he could also be a contender for a pretty powerful enemy for most of the heroes that we still have. So I'm not 100% sure what he gets out of this, if he is the one behind it, but it definitely seems like someone laid the groundwork and basically gave Wanda almost free rein, but she does have some restraints. And it seems like they're putting in things in here to kind of push her towards something. Like, it kind of seemed weird that the kids were really pushing for her to just bring back the dog. Like, you can do it, Mom. We know you can. Just bring him back. I'm like, okay, that's weird. Why are they pushing? Like, obviously, you know, any kid would want to bring their dog back, but just, I don't know where they're just pushing for it so hard. I think it's, there's something going on with that.
Hmm. Yeah, I guess I didn't really think about the urgency presented from the boys, from Tommy and Billy, about bringing back the dog. I just assumed it was because they wanted their dog back, but not that anything nefarious might be going on. So I guess we'll see what happens and why they would want her to. They obviously, if that's the case, then somebody wants her to tap into some of the darker powers that she has access to.
Well, because we get a glimpse of her. We get a little bit more of her powers in this one. Like, we get the mind-altering one. We get a more concrete evidence of that she can't necessarily create yet, but she can manipulate. When she needs things to fit the timeline, she changes their structure to match whatever kind of thing she needs it to be. Like Monica, when she goes through her clothes, the actual the molecular structure changes. So, like, we see that her pants are mostly made out of Kevlar, made from her vest that she had when she went in there.
And it remains permanent when it goes back outside of the hexagonal, whatever the right phrase is that Darcy's trying to push.
So, yeah, we definitely see that she's grown her powers a lot and that she's having more defined powers. And we're seeing that she can do a lot of things. She could possibly do even more that she doesn't know about yet. So maybe, and seeing as the kids in the comics are actually made from fragments of Mephisto's soul, maybe if he is the main bad guy in all this, maybe he has some sway with them and he's trying to get her to tap into this power for some reason.
Yeah, that's a good point about them having some, that he can manipulate them in some way because of their connection. Hmm. Now, I'm curious what you think. Is she powerful enough? And do you believe when she says she did not bring Pietro back? Well, did she bring him back from the X-Men movie.
I was going to say, apparently she's not that powerful because she didn't bring the right one back.
She brought the one from another reality. I mean, we are entering Doctor Strange multiverse where she is going to be a prominent character. So I guess it's possible, like, or someone, maybe not even her, because she doesn't seem to think that, or she is at least pretending and portraying that she had nothing to do with this. And she does seem a little shocked by him being there and who he is, but it could also be because she tried to summon the right Pietro and got the one from a different multiverse, from a different reality, the only one still alive.
Right, which, again, not my favorite one.
you don't want her to recast, like Darcy says, no. Fourth walling?
No, hopefully Darcy's on my side. I'm like, man, this recast is not ideal. Nothing against Evan Peters. I loved him in pretty much every season that he's in American Horror Story. But out of the two Quicksilvers, not quite my favorite. I don't know why. And I'm sure there's plenty of people who love his portrayal and whatever, but
But you're not one of them.
No, I'm not. But, you know, I guess this isn't the Quicksilver that I wanted, but I guess this is the Quicksilver I get, so.
There's got to be something nefarious going on out of her control that someone wants to keep her here. Also, because, like, in Westview, because why else would someone bring everything she could ever possibly want and bring it here? You know what I mean? Like, not only does she have Vision, but then she gets her children. And then she gets, you know, she has her friend Agnes or Agatha. And then now she has her brother back because there's been enough mention about her having a brother and the sadness that comes from that. Now he's finally back. Someone wants to keep her here for some reason.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely the main point of Westview, is to keep her here. Whether if that's someone doing that for her, or if this is just what she wants. Like, she
influencing her.
Yeah. So, I thought of that too, about like, well, what if this isn't actually... I mean, it's not her brother from this universe. It, you know, it's Quicksilver from a different one. But what if it's not him? Like, what if this is someone pretending to be
him?
Right, but of all people to cast for that role, why would you pick an actor that's also played Quicksilver?
Right, that seems like it's an obvious connection that they're trying to make.
Right, so if they really wanted it to be... like, oh, yeah, this is totally your brother. Like, don't you remember him? They would pick some random person that's not affiliated whatsoever. And we'd be like, oh, okay, that's weird. Like, what's happening? But no, they picked someone who's played the same character, just in a different continuity, and they're presenting him as the one from our continuity. So it'd be kind of weird to do the whole fake out where he's actually not him.
And they're just like, sorry, the other one wasn't available, so we had to go with Peters.
All I'm thinking of, like, I can't wait for the Deadpool jokes.
Mm, yes, that will be fantastic.
It's going to be great. Because again, we're dipping our toe in the multiverse stuff now, which that at the very least, it wrinkles my brain.
It wrinkles your brain.
It sure does. I love that stuff, as I've discussed before. So this is... at the very least, we're kind of setting up for the Doctor Strange movie and the Spider-Man movie. And it gets me excited. So at least we have that, I guess.
So I know that we've given a lot of our thoughts about what we think this has to do with the MCU and some of the things that we predict will happen. But let's talk about the vision of what's to come. And what you think will occur in the next episode, or at least that you're hoping. What do you think's coming down the pike?
Pipe?
I thought it was pike.
No, why would it be pike?
I don't know. I don't make these rules.
No, it's pike.
All right. Well, what's coming down the pipe then, sir?
Are we keeping that?
Absolutely, we're keeping this. I don't mind being made fool of.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Okay. Well, anyways... we kind of touched on the multiverse stuff already, so it'll be interesting to see what that has in store for us. Like, are things going to start getting weird time-wise? Is he going to have his powers? Like, is he going to be actually Quicksilver, where he's going to be real fast? And also, I think we're going to start seeing a lot more of the unraveling of Wanda's utopia, because now... she not only, like you said before, she not only has the outside forces of S.W.O.R.D. kind of messing with things. Now on the inside, you got Vision starting to question things and starting to realize the reality he's in. So he's going to start acting on his own more and trying to figure out what's going on and try to fix things.
Yeah, and I also wonder, with the rapid progression of her children's aging, if something is going to happen to them relatively soon. That also causes something terrible. One thing we didn't mention, I guess, that is kind of important, is Monica mentions that everything that happens in the show, even though it might look like it's not real, it is very real. So her twins are her actual children. And so if something does happen to them, it's not just her manifestation of that she's losing, it would be her actual children. And I know we've talked about that concept before, but they're really pushing her kids through their age real fast. So I wouldn't be surprised if something happens in the next couple of episodes. And I really hope that we get to learn more about Agnes. We've had so many questions. You know, we're over the halfway mark now at this point. I think we need to start getting some answers, or some at least some definitive answers about who she is and what she's doing here, and who the hell Ralph is. Like, I want to know because we keep mentioning him and all of the weird libido happenings in their bedroom, but we don't know anything else about him other than what we think he might be. I'm looking for some answers between those two. I really hope we get some of that. At least lead me in the right direction. Like, give me, there I can see that I'm right, you know?
I'm going to laugh real hard when he's just some random, like, slob. Just some random, normal, like...
Like, he's the mailman's best friend.
Like, watch he be basically Jackie Gleason from The Honeymooners. Just some random, just every man who's just, you know, one of these days, Agnes. And we're just be like, oh, that's a letdown. I mean, it's just one possibility, but I could kind of see that. I think we're going to get some more important and concrete answers about her next episode. I really feel like next episode's going to be really good for that kind of stuff.
I sure hope so.
Well, at this point, I mean, they kind of have to give it to you, which, I don't know, just the way things are progressing, I can kind of see it. I don't know why. I just feel like we're going to see something finally. She's finally going to tip her hand in some way that we get, oh, okay. She's either a regular person who got pulled into all this, or, oh, she is who we've been assuming she was this whole time.
Right.
And another interesting thing, we got some new posters for Dr. Darcy and Jimmy Woo with some interesting... All the posters so far for the characters have been made up of old school TVs stacked in front of them. And all the TVs have different little pictures in them. Jimmy's is interesting because... It shows him talking to Monica. It looks like in Westview, and you kind of see a little bit of her shoulder, and it kind of looks like her superhero costume. So again, hinting on that she might get powers in this. But Darcy's is extra interesting because one of her screens is some weird garbled black and white image that you can't really tell what's going on. The only other character that has this is Agnes. So whatever that could mean, we're not really sure yet.
Mm.
She also has a weird costume in one of them. Like, one of them's placed directly below chin level around her chest. And she has these very ornate red, that they almost look like an S and a backwards S on her chest. And it's a very unique look. It's very striking. Like, it's got to be something. So either she goes in Westview at some point and these are her clothes for some reason, or it points to some greater meaning that her character is going to fulfill.
I'm sure there are plenty of ladies out there that would love to see more Darcy in fully fledged out, promising, interesting character that has much to do.
Well, I like someone's recommendation that her and Jimmy just go around doing like X-Files style stuff.
I'm on board. Now, I know you said you like her in just small increments, but yeah. I like her in whatever measurement we can get her in.
Are you trying to... I sense a little bit of superiority in your voice. Like, you know what? No, I want to see her all the time because I think she's great and you're just wrong.
I'm just saying, you are not appreciating the humor that she brings.
I don't know. Maybe it was just the writing, because again, the last Thor movie was great. The second Thor movie was not great. She was...
That movie, in general, was not great. It has nothing to do with one character.
Well, that's I'm saying I don't think the writing was good.
I know the writing wasn't good.
So.
So does the rest of the world.
So.
Sorry, shade to the Thor 2 screenwriters.
Yeah, I mean, full disclosure, I can't write a movie, but.
But neither can they.
I wasn't going to say it.
That's all right.
You said it.
I did.
That's Amanda at thehollywoodoutsider.com.
That is correct. Send me an email.
You can find her on Twitter and harass her there.
Sink into this. Go ahead. Do it. I dare you.
That'll be a really interesting Twitter discourse. It's going to be very one-sided, though.
And you can find Vinny at Black Label Art on Twitter. Check out his drawings. Maybe he'll do one for WandaVision if you pressure him enough. I think that's going to do it for this episode. I think we're going to leave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm definitely... I'm more...
Oh, but you kept talking. So I guess...
Well, I'm just saying, I'm more amped for the show now. I'm really excited to see where it goes. So, fun times.
More to come next week on WandaVision. That's going to do it for this show. That's going to do it for this episode of The Hollywood Outsider. Remember, you can find all of our content, including reviews, other episodes, regular episodes of The Hollywood Outsider at thehollywoodoutsider.com on all of your favorite podcast apps. Make sure to subscribe so you get the latest and greatest of episodes. If you are a Patreon supporter, a big shout out and thank you to all of you. And if you're not, make sure that you sign up at patreon.com/thehollywoodoutsider. It does support the show and make things happen. And you also get bonus content and early access like this episode and early access to episodes of WandaVision. You can find us on Twitter at BuyPopcorn, Instagram at The Hollywood Outsider, Facebook. We do have an amazing Facebook group with a fantastic community. So make sure you join, hop in there. That's where our regular weekly episode topics are posted for listener feedback and comment. That's it for this episode of WandaVision. And remember, the next time you watch WandaVision on your couch, buy popcorn.
You forgot your own outro.
I sure did. I didn't write it, man. Well, I guess I wrote part of it. Don't judge me.
It's literally a riff on the normal one.
All right, look, stop throwing shade.